Turn with me to 2 Samuel today, chapter 21. 2 Samuel 21. I want to talk to you today about some of this. We struggle. We've talked about relationships for a lot of years, We've talked about relationships for the last several Sabbaths. Today, I want to talk to you about something about seeing your way through those times of trouble, what that relationship will do for you. And 2 Samuel 21, we get in verse 15, it says, when the Philistines started another war with Israel, David and his men went out to fight the Philistines, but David became tired and weak. You know, how many of you watched an old movie where you see the Hebrews going to war or something's going on back in the day? Did they all jump in their cars and go to battle? They go crawl on a ship and life was easy? No, they actually got out, walked out of the town, away from all their homes, usually on foot, and they marched until they got to the battle. This day, I want to take you back to this day. It's hot, it's dry, the land is mostly desert. How many of you walked through the desert before? Any hands? Is it hot? Yeah. It's not exactly where you want to be. This day, though, we take ourselves back all these many years. There's a great king that's leading his mighty men to fight the Palestinians. We know that king. He's David. But he's much older now, and he walks in front of his troops. And you know, David led by example. That was one thing that the Bible makes it clear. He was there with his troops. And I can imagine him walking along and through the desert, leading his troops to this battle. He's hot. It's not an easy walk. It's not like there was a path to this way to the battle. That's not what happened there. And he marches forward in determination because he's made this march many times before. As he walks on through the hot desert, his foot slips just a little bit on a rock. And you can think about what a struggle it is just to stay upright, not twist an ankle or fall. So he marches forward in determination because he had made this march so many times before. And as he descends a long hill, he struggles trying to keep his footing. And he begins to think of all the battles over all the many years. Think of that. He has a life full of battles, full of successes. And he recounts those as he walks along preparing for this battle as he leads his men through that desert. It wasn't no short walk. It took a while. But he recounts these battles again and again. How many times has he laid down his life before? And there's so many battles that resulted in victory through God's presence in those battles. David was granted victory after victory. And his troops, respecting his silence, I can imagine they'd step back a little bit as he went over each battle in his mind. And how's that going to play out in this battle? Because this is an important battle for him. He's probably thinking of strategies. If they do this, how am I going to do that? If they present themselves here, what am I going to do there? And finally, the great king, David, stops on a hill. And when he stops, all his men stop. The rumble of all the footsteps stop. And there's silence on that hill. And he stares out across an open valley at a distant hill. And the sun's beating down upon him and his men. And he stands there, firm, knowing that he has this. Knowing that he has this battle in control. In full view of the Palestine army, he stands there. And they're on the hill in front of him, looking back at David, his army. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the tension that would be in the air? This isn't where you make a radio call and somebody comes in and does something for you. You're going to battle. So the tension in the air must have been great between the two sides. And then all of a sudden their silence is broken by the blaring of the horns, giving them signals of what they're about to do. And David gazes out across that opposing hill. All of the men of war are waiting for his command as he assesses the situation, as he looks at everything, as he prepares for this great battle that's about to take place. But David notices something strange. As he goes across and he sees all the different men lined up, all of a sudden his eyes come across, there's a giant there. One that's twice as big as anybody else. So, can we get the slides up? Thank you. So there's a giant there. He's got shiny armor on. He's twice the size of any of the soldiers that are out there. And you can tell that, you can just imagine David glazing across. Oh, there's a giant. Now think of that. Because he's dealt with them before. Now he's got another giant that's there. And this giant has shiny armor on. Shiny new spear. Can you imagine that? He just reflects it in the sun. And David in his mind, could it be? Could it be? And you know his mind has to be trying to grapple that. And we were talking about, back in the day when he fought Goliath, he picked up 5 stones for Goliath and all his brothers. That's determination, knowing that it's going to be. And at this time, he's looking out there thinking, oh, could it be? Here I am in the end of my life, and here is a giant. And the giant with his spear and his shiny new armor reflecting the sun. There are many that believe that Ishbibenob, the giant that was there, is a descendant or a brother of Goliath. And he's not there because he just wants to go fight. He's there for revenge. It's personal. And it's so personal that he puts on new armor, he's got a big new spear, and he's ready to go to war. You know, Ishbibenob, I can imagine him beginning his ascent down that hill. He's probably the first one of the Palestine army the Philistine army to move. He's probably so eager to get into this battle, he begins descending the opposing hill into the valley, and as he does, I can see David, we're going. More horns blare, and they come down, and they're going to merge down in the bottom of this valley to begin war, combat. As David descends his hill, his stride is won with confidence. He's done this before. It's not his first battle. And his eyes are fixed upon the target. He knows that at some point in time, he's going to meet this giant. David's gaze remains clear. And I'm going to guess that he was so focused, even as he's coming down this bottom, he comes into the valley, that he'd step into water and not even miss a step. Not even try to step over the water, because his focus is so intense on the battle at hand. He is determined to lead his men once again. There's no hesitation in his step. And as David and his army come face to face with the Philistine army, David does not even hesitate to go ahead and pull his sword. He is ready. You know, David, even though that he was older, swung with the confidence of a man that had to battle many foes in his life. And his past success in his battle giving David surety of everything that he does. He is sure about those. And finally, the battle rages on. And finally, at some point in time, I can imagine that all the Philistines step away, and it's just David and this giant, Ishbibenob. You know nobody's going to interfere. You know, I can imagine that battle being intense. When they come face to face, I would guess that David wouldn't even hesitate to begin to swing his sword with a tremendous blow, but the giant would step out of the way. parry off his blow. And I can imagine that sword going over David's head would sound a lot like a helicopter. But the giant parries David's blow again and again, and with great skill, David continues his offense. David swings again at the legs of the giant, but I can imagine the giant jumping out of the way. He is prepared for this day. He probably has a speed and skill that you would not expect somebody of that size to have. And again, David would miss. And the giant would swing, and David would block, parry off that spear again and again. It is a 7-pound spear. I can imagine that spear coming around and David blocking it, and it almost knocked David off his feet. The king would recover swiftly, and he takes strikes again at the body with an upward swing, but the giant is skilled. He would parry it away, and again, the battle would continue on. As the battle of the two champions continued, the Bible says that David became weary. This wasn't no short battle. David had already fought through the Philistine army to come face to face with this giant. What an opponent to have. And I can imagine as things were heating up, this giant would come over with a sword and do an overhead blow. And David hold his sword up to block the blow as if it was to cleave him in two. Can you imagine that sword coming down that so hard with a powerful blow from overhead, and David would block it, but he would block it with a price. David is tired. He's weary from battle. David is weary from life itself. David's weary in age. And even though David blocks the blow, I can see it driving him all the way down to his knees. As exhaustion overwhelms David, his sword would falter. His strength leaves him. And for the first time in David's life, he is unable to overcome. I can imagine that power of that sword knocking it to the ground. For David to lift it again would be almost near impossible. He is alone with the giant. He has no strength left in his sword in defense. Nishbibenob, the giant, with the new armor, with the sword that comes down with an overhead blow, with a mighty force as if to cleave David in two. You know, this isn't the first time that David fought giants in his life. Immediately when we talk about David, the first time that David fought a giant in his life, it was Goliath on that great battlefield. And when David met Goliath on the battlefield, it was with God by his side. And with God by his side, David was victorious. And that battle with Goliath actually led to David being crowned king. But after Goliath, David fought many other giants in his life. The giant of sexual immorality with Bathsheba, where he was overcome with lust. The giant of conflict in his home, which led to the abominations in his family. The giant of insurrection in his own kingdom that stemmed from his family issues. The giant of the death of Absalom when Joab had shot him in the chest with 3 darts. Even the giant of Saul trying to kill him. David fought giant after giant after giant in his life. So many giants in his life. And the only giant that ever overcame David was the giants that he chose to fight alone. Those are the ones that overcame him. It was the ones that he chose to fight alone. So here we are in this battle. this day, where David's fighting a giant, Ishbibenob. And Ishbibenob has gone out and got new armor. He's got a big sword. And he has the determination to exact revenge upon David. David is weary. His age is getting the best of him. And can you imagine, as that sword comes down, David unable to pick his sword up to block it. But all of a sudden, right as it's there, David's point of his weakest point, I would imagine that at this point he just closes his eyes and thinks, this is it. He's about to be cleaved in two by a giant. And as that sword comes down, you hear clink. Metal hitting metal. As Abishai, the son of Zeruiah's sword, meets Ishbibenob's sword. You think you'd have relief at that moment? Let's read the rest of this. Let's start again. 2 Samuel 21:15, when the Philistines were at war again with Israel, David and his servants with him went down and fought against the Philistines. And David grew faint. Then Ishbibenob, who was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, about 7 pounds, was bearing a new sword, thought he would kill David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, "You shall go out no more with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel." Something to think about, isn't it? You know, David fell short that day. And David fell short that day because he fought alone. He survived because of the strength of another in battle, or his strength in the battle came from another. When we look at our own Christian walk, we cannot fight alone. It is Jesus that steps in to save us, and we need to understand that in our life. Time and time again, the Bible instructs us to rely upon God to deliver us from our enemy. And we see it. We see it in Matthew 6:13. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And one part of that prayer says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." You know, before we can resist the devil, we have to submit ourselves to God. And James tells us that in James 4:7. He says, "Submit yourselves to God." Sophia read it this morning, Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Have you put your armor on today? Are you really ready to go do battle? You know, a little girl once was asked, how does she defeat Satan? And she said, "Well, when Satan comes knocking at my heart, I send God to answer the door. And when Satan sees God, he says, 'Oops, I have the wrong house.'" Amen. What do you have in your heart today? The reason why we need God's strength and help in battling Satan is because we are powerless on our own. When it comes to battling Satan, we are powerless without Christ in our life. We become weary. Our strength is not enough. He is too strong for us to fight alone. But when you have Christ in your life, Lucifer approaches you and he says, "Jesus is in the way." And he moves to the next house. We need God's strength to help us conquer Satan. Not just in one part of our life, not in another. We need him in our entire life. And it's through our relationship with God that we find strength. You know, Los Angeles, sunrise was done in Los Angeles. A motorcycle police officer by the name of Bob Vernon saw a red pickup truck speed through a stop sign. This guy must be late to work, he thought to himself. So he turned on his emergency lights and radioed that he was in pursuit, and the pickup pulled over. As the officer approached, meanwhile in the truck, the driver thought the cops already know. He was scared in that truck. He rested his hand on the same gun that he used just a few moments ago to rob a 24-hour market. The sack of stolen money was beside him on the seat, and the officer said, "Good morning, sir. May I see your..." And that was the end of his sentence. He never finished that sentence. The driver shoved the gun towards the policeman's chest and fired from just inches away. The cop was knocked flat, landed about 7 feet away, and a few seconds later, to the shock of the criminal, the officer stood up, pulled the service revolver, and fired twice. The first bullet went through the open window and smashed the windshield. The second through the door and ripped into the driver's leg. "Don't shoot! Don't shoot!" The thief screamed, throwing the gun and the sack of money out of the pickup window. So what saved that policeman's life was dozens of layers of Kevlar. Super strong. It's used for a bulletproof vest, and only 3/8 of an inch thick. A Kevlar stops bullets cold. You know, in our struggles in our lives, we make the same mistake as David did. We make the same mistake as God's beloved. We try to rely on our own strength, and we all do it. We rely on our own strength to see us through giant battles in our lives. Bob Vernon, that police officer that day, did something every day as he prepared to go out to work. He put on his bulletproof vest. Every day. You know, we need to do the same in our daily walk. We need to put on our armor of God before we find ourselves in a battle that we're going to fall weary and short in. David was successful only when he had God by his side. But when David struggled the most in his life is when God was left out. He wasn't there when he made his decision for Bathsheba. He wasn't there when he made his decision to have Bathsheba's husband murdered. Wasn't there the abominations of his family. Wasn't there for most of the things in David's life. The lesson here is this: the giants in life will overcome you if you take them on alone. And we need God every day in our life. And we seem to put God away until we need him. You ever notice that in your life? God kind of slides by. When everything's going smooth in your life, God slides by and we find ourselves alone in the battlefield. Not because he left us, but because we left him. And you have to ask, do I need to recommit my life daily to God? And yes, every day you need to get up and recommit that day. I can tell you that I worked hard a long time ago. I worked very hard. I was a guy that didn't really need a whole lot of things. I had a whole bunch of rental homes. I had a business, a tire business. I had all the money I probably could need. All the time, life was easy. And it seemed it was good. But, you know, as life moved on, I realized that I didn't have time for anything else. I kept the money coming in. I kept the life moving on. And what happened was that late at night, I would begin to realize I'm lonely. I am truly lonely. It's those times that I really reflected on my life. And I realized I was so lonely. And it didn't take long to figure out what was missing. because I had had no need for God in my life. Didn't need him. I had money, had all kinds of fun toys to play on. Life was busy. I was busy having fun in life. But I realized my life was empty without him. It was definitely empty without him in it daily. So it was when I realized that I'd fallen away from God in my life that I began to read the word. I began to pray daily. And my strength was renewed with God. My relationship was renewed with God. You know, it's quite a thing to be filled with God. Not to know of him, but to be there with God, to have that relationship where you talk to God, where you experience God. It's kind of like our Sabbath school lesson this morning as we look at it. We begin to emulate God. We begin to build his character. We begin to have love for one another, love for the sick, the poor. That transforms our life. And without that, you become lonely. So many times in my life, I would get comfortable. I would put God up on the mantle somewhere in my house. And I'd take him down when I got myself into trouble. When I fought battles alone, I would pull God down and say, yeah, I need your help now. And most of the time, it came with a negotiation of prayer. Hey, if you'll do this for me, God, I'll start praying more. If you haven't done that, don't start. But we seem to get into this point of where we begin to think, okay, I need you now. I'm in trouble. Come save me. We're like Peter. My question today is simple. Where are you at? Where are you at today with your walk with God? Where are you at with your relationship with God this day? Is he in your heart? Has God changed your life? Is there still things that need to change in your life? Or have you forgotten God on your mantle and you're waiting for the next giant in your life before you take him down? Is it time to take him into your heart today? Every day. Wake up and experience God so that God is with you every day. Just as the armor was on that police officer, we can have the armor of God in our lives. Amen. We never have to fight alone. And today, if you feel lonely, talk to somebody about it. Come see me or an elder. Maybe you don't know your way back. You may have all the answers to the Bible. You know all the stories of the Bible to the T. You know who God is. You know the Ten Commandments, and you check them off as you keep them. But do you know God? Do you experience God daily? Has God changed your life from what you once were to what you are now and what you will be in eternity? Has God changed your life? Is he continuing to change your life? Those are questions today that we all need the answer to. But if you're having struggles today, God is there. Please talk to somebody about it. Please stand with me today. As we close today, we need to remember that not only do we need to trust, but we need to obey God. Hymn number 530, Trust and Obey. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for always being there when we call upon you. We thank you for not having to do these battles in this life alone. It is through your strength that we overcome. And Lord, as we all gather, Lord, we ask that you would bless each one of us. As we leave here today, we ask for a special blessing as we move out into your mission field. Lead us and guide us this day. Be with those that are sick, those that are struggling, Lord. We ask that you be with each one of them this day. Be there as in a very special way in each heart. Comfort each one of us. Comfort them as well. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.